Did you know that there's, of all the things we have in common, all of us have in common, did you know one of the things that we all have in common is that every one of us in some way has an impact on others? And in fact, I would say that probably most of us have far more impact on others than we would imagine. Maybe your relationship as a parent, as a grandparent, as a great-grandparent. Young people have influence on each other, impact on each other, and impact on your family. All of us have an impact on each other. And in your lifetime, you have contact with hundreds, really, probably thousands of people over your lifetime. Did you know that every interaction you have with somebody in some way impacts that person? Now, my question is not, will you have an impact? My question for you is how will you impact other people for God? How will you impact other people for God? And if your desire is, I want my life to touch other people for God and influence them for God, then God has something wonderful for you today. We're in a series on the book of Joshua entitled Claiming God's Victory. Joshua was leading Israel as they conquered the land that God had promised them. We're learning from them how to be victorious in our spiritual journey. Now, who is the primary human character in the book of Joshua? Now, anytime you read the Bible, the primary character is always God, what God is doing, always. But in the book of Joshua, who is the primary character, human character in the book of Joshua? You tell me. Excellent job. Yeah. The namesake of the book, the human author of the book, is Joshua, and he's the main character. But there is another character that also shines brightly in the pages of the book of Joshua. A man who also, like Joshua, was a man of impact. The people, of course, had gone into the promised land, and now they had been fighting for 7 years. And after 7 years of fighting, they had gained operational control of the land. There were yet places to be taken in each of the tribes. God gave each of the tribes their land allotment for them to conquer and to enjoy the fruits of their labors and the fruits of their conquering in the land that God had given them. And chapters 13 through chapter 21 describe the land allotments that God gives to each of these tribes. Now, in the 14th chapter, a man who made a great impact for God comes again to the forefront of for the second time in Israel's history. His name is Caleb. His story is told in Joshua chapter 14. So I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible with me to the book of Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, and in Caleb, we're going to find out about the kind of an individual that makes an impact for God. You've been seated for a few minutes at least. How about if you stand with me and I'll read the scriptures aloud, give you a chance to change position. Standing, please, now that you're all settled in. I've heard it said the preacher's job is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So if you are too comfortable, I feel like I did my job. I've afflicted you today. Joshua chapter 14, beginning in verse 6, the Bible tells us that then came the children of Judah unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thine children's forever, because thou hast fully followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. And as yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Now, if you want to be an individual that makes an impact for God, I believe this. I believe that God is a God that wants to enable you to be that individual. You're a young person. You say, me? Yes, you. You say, well, I don't know. Can I really make an impact? Well, I believe this. I believe that God can make an impact in you. And as he makes an impact in you, God can make an impact through you. And if God has lifted your vision that I want to be that kind of a person, then I know God has something wonderful for you today. Let's pray and ask him to help us. Now, God, it is our request that you will help us to see what we cannot. We can't see what you are doing. We can't see what you could do. And sometimes our faith is limiting. So we ask, God, for you to speak to us. And there are individuals that you are bringing to a place today to where the decisions that are made this morning will have an impact not only today, but even in a lifetime. For some, the decision will wonderfully expand their influence. For others, they will limit you. And that's not what you want or we want. For some, today's the day that you save them from their sin. Their lives are now, they become new in Christ. And so wherever we are, Lord God, I pray that you would meet with us. And we pray it all yielded to the Holy Spirit, believing that he will work by faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. So what kind of a person makes an impact for God? First, I want you to notice this. The kind of person that makes an impact for God is a person with overcoming courage. The kind of person that makes an impact for God is a person with overcoming courage. Caleb and his tribe approach Joshua. He's giving out these assignments by each of the tribes. And Caleb, of course, is of the tribe of Judah. And Caleb comes before his old friend Joshua to claim their portion of the promised land. And he looks back to the history that the two of them shared together. We read about it again, chapter 14, verse 6. The children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh and the Kenizzite said to him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord. He looks back on the time that he and Joshua shared and walks down memory lane. You know how it is when you walk down memory lane. He says, you know, I look back at these at that time. And I remember when we did that together. We went into the land. What a land it was. We came back. Do you remember we gave our reports? And he shares this testimony of himself that I have wholly followed the Lord. This generation that was past missed the opportunity to make an impact because they wouldn't believe God. And yet there were two individuals in that generation that were willing to believe God. And those men whose lives, others whose lives had passed, these are men who still, even as we read their story, are making an impact for God today. You know, a person who lives courageously for God can claim God's overcoming power. Courageous faith enables God's power to overcome five obstacles. You will find that these five obstacles are just as real today as they were in the generation that did not believe God and those that did believe God 40 years or 45 years prior to the event that we're reading about right now. I'm going to invite you to go with me back to that event that was so transformational. In Numbers chapter 13, the people, of course, had come out of Egypt. They came to Kadesh Barnea, and there they had a choice to make. They sent spies into the land, and the report comes back of the 12 from the 12 spies. 10 of them said, oh, it's a great land, but we can't do it. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, God can help us and God can do a work that we cannot do. So let's believe God and move forward. And listen to the report, chapter 13 of the book of Numbers. And look, if you will, verse 30 and verse 31. After these 12 tribes come back and the 10 spies said, we can't do it. Listen to Caleb's address to the congregation. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Here's the first obstacle you're going to have to overcome if you want to be an impact maker. The first obstacle you'll have to overcome is cowardice. Cowardice. Did you hear the story about the little guy whose mom was putting him to bed, and there was a terrible thunderstorm outside, and the little guy was really scared. And mama puts him in bed, and she reaches down. She knows he's afraid, and she reaches down and gives him a big hug. And then out of the stillness, the little guy says, Mom, could you stay in the bed with me? No, honey, I can't stay in the bed with you. I need to go be in the bed with your daddy. A few minutes of silence. And this little wavering voice says, the big sissy. You better believe, courage. People that make an impact for God are the people that are willing to stand and overcome with God's power cowardice, because every one of us are afraid. Every one of us, when you're the man that makes the stand, the right stand in the right way, when you're the young person that says, I will be the one that will be different, I will be the one that will make a stand in my generation, when you're the individual that makes that stand, this is not for cowards. This is for the courageous. This is for the bold. The people who are willing to stand for truth and for righteousness with God's enabling power are the people who make an impact for God. How many of you know who Eddie Rickenbacker is? A number of you do. Oh, a number of you. Boy, you need to learn about Eddie Rickenbacker. He's a great American. A great American. He was in World War I, he was America's greatest ace, the ace of all aces. Eventually, he served in a presidential cabinet, did some other ventures, business ventures, was a test pilot. And he tried to get into the, in World War I, tried to get in the service, but he was too skinny and they wouldn't let him in. He somehow got in. And then he wanted to be a pilot and he couldn't make it to the grade. He wasn't prepared enough, but somehow he gets to become a pilot. And then he really excels as a pilot and he is America's ace of aces. Eventually leaves the military. He's a test pilot. He goes into a presidential cabinet. Then he went into business, and he took over Eastern Airlines. Now, back then, the airlines did not pay for themselves as private industry. The United States government paid for their businesses to stay afloat. Bad practice, still a bad practice. But Rickenbacker, by conviction, did not believe it was the role of the United States government, the taxpayers of the government, to pay for businesses to survive and thrive. So he was the first one that decided that he would take, of all the airlines, he would take Eastern Airlines off of government funding and become a for-profit enterprise. A trailblazer. Everything in his life, everything in Rickenbacker's life, he was a trailblazer. Now listen to what Eddie Rickenbacker said that I thought was so interesting. Courage, he said, is doing what you're afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you're scared. Is there anything wrong with being scared? No? You ever scared? Nothing wrong with being scared. But when your fear is greater than your faith to believe that God has the power to help you to overcome, my friend, that becomes a sin problem. I'm going to tell you, if you want to be an impact maker, a person that makes a difference, you're going to have to overcome. All of us are going to have to trust God for the power, because I can't do it on my own, you can't do it, to overcome cowardice. Maybe that's an area that God is speaking to you about. And the Holy Spirit is helping you and speaking to you because you know the cowardice of your own heart. To go forward with God and believe God and to die to self, yield to Him. Cowardice. There's another obstacle that courage enables, or courageous faith enables God's power to overcome. Beside cowardice, the second is compromise. I read again in verse 31. Of Numbers 14, the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it were men of great stature. We saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight." Oh, you can understand why they were afraid and why it took courage. But wait a minute, God had said, you just conquer that land. But rather than obey God, they looked at all the obstacles and said, "You know what? I think we'll be okay just where we are." And a willingness to compromise biblical obedience. So here they are at Kadesh Barnea. They're at a turning point. And Caleb and Joshua say, "Let's go, God can do it. Let's go, God can do it." And yet the majority said, "That's a little extreme. I don't want to go all out and obey God all the way, especially when I don't, the obstacles are so big." How many of you have ever experienced the great temptation just to compromise and give in when you knew what was right? Here's a young person. God's calling them in their life to be a light for Christ. And all the other kids in their school seem to love the things of the world. The lost kids, even the Christian kids, love the world more than they love God. And everybody's just putting this pressure in for that young person to say, I'm going to be one that will stand up boldly and shine when everybody else just seems to go along. Oh, the pressure that young person feels. But God is calling that young person to be bold and stand. And how many of you know, you may not be a young person, though you are young at heart, that that's still a challenge you find in your life, no matter what your age, no matter what your stage. To stand boldly and courageously, not to compromise. It's the senior adult who, in the pressures of old age, just decides it's not worth fighting and standing anymore. It's the man or woman on the job site. It's the kid that lives in the neighborhood and the neighborhood kids enticing that young person to do wrong. It's the church and pastor that are willing to compromise biblical obedience to try to build a kingdom that may not be God's kingdom. It's the church that won't believe God to go forward when He clearly opens doors. It may take so many forms, but those who impact or make an impact for God are people that in God's power courageously overcome compromise. Is it possible that God is speaking to you? Well, there's another obstacle you'll have to overcome. The overcoming power of courageous faith enables God's power to overcome a third one. Here we go. Complaining. Complaining. Watch what happens. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Here are people that had tremendous, tremendous faithful leaders. And yet, when they reached a pressure point and a time of temptation, what did they do? They murmured. Complained against the leadership. Complained against God. God, why did you do this to us? How many of you know someone who you think is a chronic complainer? Don't raise your hand. Please don't raise your hand. Chronic complainer. Maybe you find yourself to be a chronic complainer. And when people think of you, you know what they'll think of? They don't think of the impact of the life of your life for God and what God's done in your life. Don't they think of when they think of you if you happen to be that person? They think of you as the chronic complainer. And if you find yourself and the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you about your complaining, my friend, what God is trying to do is He's trying to lift your sight from your selfishness, and He's trying to give you an opportunity to be an impact for God that builds others rather than drags them down. There's a fourth area, a fourth obstacle to overcome. That the overcoming power of courageous faith enables God to help you to move past. We read about it in verse 4. Here's the obstacle. It's discontentment. Boy, look where they came from. Here are people that came from Egypt as slaves. All that they had seen the plagues. They had seen the power of God bring them out. And when they came out, they just didn't come out poor people. They came out with the treasures, the wealth of Egypt. They came out wealthy people. And then they see God bring them across the Red Sea miraculously, and the sea close up and defeat the army of the Egyptians. And they watched God's law when it was given to them on the mountain, and they saw the thunder and the lightning and the smoke, and they heard God's word given to them. And all that they had seen and all that they experienced, no generation before them and no generation since them has seen anything like it. And yet, listen to what the Bible says about them. Verse 5 of chapter 4. Or verse 4 rather. And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt." Discontentment. We got to get a new leader. We got to get back to where we were. Discontent with the opportunity of freedom that God had given them. The faithful leadership God had given them. Have you found yourself coming up against the obstacle of discontentment? There's one more obstacle that you'll need to help. Ask God to help you to overcome. The other obstacle is the obstacle of carnal criticism. Oh, what a challenge this is. Carnal criticism. When I use the term carnal, let me remind you, that is a Bible term. It means dominated by the flesh, controlled by the flesh. That is my selfish nature. The contrast to it is spiritual. A spiritual individual is controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. A carnal individual is controlled by their selfishness and their selfish nature. And what happened when these people found themselves in a very difficult situation? Well, I want you to notice verse 5, and I'll read through verse 10. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither ye people of the land, or neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade them stone them with stones. Imagine that. The audacity to try to kill the very individuals that led them out of Egypt and believed God. God intervenes. Keep reading in verse 10. The glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. If you want to be a person that makes an impact, you're going to have to overcome carnal criticism. You know, there is a difference between, I've told you this before, about destructive and constructive criticism. You know, constructive criticism is when I criticize you. Destructive criticism is when you criticize me. But you better believe if you're going to make an impact for God, you're going to find that there will be people that are not driven by faith, driven by sight, whose glory is not the glory of God. you will find that they will criticize you when you say, I'm going to make an impact. I'm going to give myself to God all the way. And you're going to have to know that by faith, courageous faith, God enables you to overcome carnal criticism. You know, every person that makes an impact for God overcomes these five obstacles because God helps them and they move forward in courageous faith. And God does a work in their lives. And if you find that you're right up against an obstacle and you want to go forward, but you say, I don't know if I can, I'm going to tell you that if you'll believe God, God will give you He'll enable you with faith. But you're going to have the courage to believe that God can and that He will and move forward, whatever the cost. Well, do you want to make an impact for God? You need to know the overcoming power of courageous faith. But then this passage reminds us as well, God also reminds us in this portion of Scripture about the ever-present need for courageous faith. Israel had seen God bring them out of Egypt, and then that generation didn't believe God. Now, the generation that was punished for it, wandered in the wilderness all those years, now they were coming to a new era in their history and in their lives. You read about it in Joshua chapter 1. So go to the beginning of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. You want to find verse 6 and verse 7. Joshua chapter 1. Moses had passed from the scene. That entire generation had passed from the scene. And now you have a new era. And this new era begins with people who have a choice. Are we going to make a difference for God in our generation? And listen to what God tells this new generation in chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to it or from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And faced with this challenge, with some ups and some downs along the way, this generation believed God and made an impact. They claimed the land that God had promised them. Now Joshua comes to the end of this book. And go into your Bible to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23, and again, you'll want to find verse 6 and verse 7 of that chapter. Now Joshua is an old man. He's led for all these years, and he's coming to the end of his life. And he knows that it is time for his generation to pass. His leadership will soon be over. And now he is preparing for the generation to follow. And do you know what he tells the generation to follow? Look at your Bible, verse 6 and verse 7 of Joshua 23. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. He challenges the generation to follow. Don't turn from the Lord. Make sure you stay true to God. Love God. Don't let anything distract you from God. So that in every generation, there must be people who say, I will in my generation stand. It's that way in your generation. It's that way in your life. How many of you know that the longer you walk with God, the time to where you have to learn to trust God and stand for God and believe God for great things, how many of you know that never stops? There's always another obstacle. There's always another challenge. There's always another battle to face. And so you must be willing at every point in your life, every step in your life, and every generation, there must be people who will say, I will be the individual who will stand for God courageously. The ever-present need. Let me ask you this. Living in our country, watching what is taking place in our country, do you think that today is the day that there's a need for people who are willing to stand for truth and righteousness? Man, we're awash with corruption. But listen, I'm going to tell you that if there's ever a time for people to stand boldly, you say, well, wait a minute. What about the woke culture? What about what everybody else is telling me? What are they going to say at my workplace? And what's the HR department going to say? And what if my neighbor? And listen, I'm going to tell you, this is a time to stand boldly, wisely, kindly, lovingly, of course, truthfully. Wow. In every generation and every step, the ever-present need for courage. And today's a day that there's a young person that says, I'm going to be that one. There's a man in a home that says, I'm going to be that one. There's an individual, wherever you are, whatever your story in life, that says, I will stand courageously. Will you be the one? See, people that make an impact for God are people of overcoming courage. But can I tell you this? I want you to understand that this isn't just some people who have a personality that is this way. It's their personality. Though there are probably some people by personality are more that way than others, right? Sure, I think so. This isn't just somebody who maybe has they have a superior will. I've got willpower and my willpower is greater than... No, that's not what we're talking about. Or someone that has an unusual capacity and so... And there may be people like all of that, and I'm grateful, and I trust they give themselves to the Lord. But overcoming courage finds its resource in complete consecration. Can I tell you that again? Overcoming courage finds its resource in complete consecration. People who make an impact have overcoming courage because they have complete consecration. So Caleb appears before his old friend Joshua. You go back to Joshua chapter 14 again, where we began. Joshua chapter 14, and he begins to reminisce. And oh, remember those days? He goes back all those decades before when he and Joshua stood. Remember what it was like? And I imagine as he begins telling this to Joshua, that Joshua is living this out in his mind, you know, like a movie, as he watches his own life as a movie, and he's picturing what it was like then. And he heard the noises of the people as they murmur, and he knows what it's like when the people begin to pick up stones, and as they plead for the people to follow God. And he watches all of this take place. And he goes back to this memory and he reminisces with him. But then Caleb makes this testimony, his own testimony of himself in verse 8 of Joshua chapter 14. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Moses on that day shares a testimony about Joshua and about Caleb, but particularly in this case, Caleb. And he reminds Joshua of Moses' testimony. Verse 9, the latter part. Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And then in verse 14, in recounting all of this, there's God's testimony of Joshua. Look in your Bible, the end of verse 14. Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. This is not somebody pulling themselves up by their bootstraps and dealing with adversity. Somebody who's just so wise that they make wise, hard decisions and in their own power make a difference. This is something that God has to do, where an individual says, you know what, there are things in life that are far more important than me. And I can't do this, but I am going to decide that I'm going to wholly follow the Lord and give myself to Him. And whatever the consequences, that's the consequences. Whatever the cost, that's the cost. Whatever it means, that's what it means. And if you are that person, whatever the cost, whatever the consequences, whatever it means, that's what it means. But I am going to follow God with all that I am, all that my being. I'm going to sell out all that I am for all that He is. I'm all in. Then here's what God does. God takes someone like you, selling out all that I am to all that He is, and God steps in and gives enabling power that you don't have. Courage you don't have, and faith you don't have. And when He does, now your life begins to make an impact. An impact. And that's what you want. See, you don't want life just to go along and no difference made. No. You want to be a person that makes an impact. Overcoming faith. Complete consecration. Then you let God decide how He's going to use you and how He's going to impact your life. But your decision today is, I'm going to give all that I am. I'm just going to give all that I am and sell out all for God. Would you stand with me, please?